in the traditional sense. It really is to tap into the area where you need healing, where there's a blockage. So it will help with your vocabulary, mm-hmm. because you're going to have to speak, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. It will help with mathematics. It will help even with science. Mm-hmm. You know, it reaches to all of these places because it's all of these things that we're about.
All right, let me go back to Studio 174.
Yes.
Right. And this is in Kingston, in the heart of Kingston.
Right.
How do you, where do the children come from? Do they just walk in or how do they?
Most of the time it's a walk-in. A lot of the times I've got in contact with I was working in Tivoli last year, in particularly when we had the May 11th insertion, and we had a project with the phototherapy where I have been working with that community ever since. So it's a huge community.
Mm-hmm.
From then that word spreads around the place.
Yes, yes.
And also to as I say, it's a walk-in situation where I will see some of these kids on the street and just ask them to come in. I say, look, there, I have a studio where you can paint and draw. So some of them are literally barefooted, you know, right? And no food for, no breakfast or anything like this. And I would let them come in, and they're amazed because I have really wonderful artworks on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I also was trying to do away with the uptown and downtown mentality. I lecture at NMLE school, and I would ask some of my students there to come into the space and use the space to paint.
Mm-hmm.
And there they have a time to have a conversation, to communicate with other inner city youths. And when they're working together, you know, there's no uptown, downtown thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that unity that happens.
Yeah. It's 6 years. 6 years since you've been there.
At Studio 174, but I've worked in Trenchtown through the Department of Psychiatry, and that was a project we did for about maybe 3 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, I've been in an inner city for over 10 years, you know, and it's all been voluntary.
Voluntary, and you know, it's International Women's Month, and I know a lot of people are thinking it, so I might as well just say it, even though it's not normally my thing to say, but as a woman, I mean, how do you, are you... afraid of the consequences, or as Marcus Garvey used to say, women in earnest do not fear the consequences.
Listen, when you care about your people, you read history and you see what has happened to your people, you know. And I'm a mother, I have a daughter that is 22 years old, and you wonder where our people is going to, you know. You don't think about consequences in that way, you know.
Yes.
You know?
You think about the consequences if you do not do anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I get it, totally.
You know? You sit down there and you're hearing this violence and the killing of our people, and our people killing our people. And if you're not moved to do something, then I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That is how I felt about the whole thing.
Yes.
And that, until today, that injustice that I see that is going on, right, is still... It is still a thing that triggers me to keep continuing,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that I can affect 1,000 people, although I had this big high chest thinking that, you know, before I part this world, I must affect 1,000 people.
Well, I think if you affect one,
you know,
I think, you know,
yes.
the domino effect is
right.
That.
I've had to come down on earth and say, even if it's just one, no.
Just one.
You know?
But one will touch the other.
Yeah.
And so children will walk in, young people will walk in off the street, and they'll become a part of what
right.
you do there.
And also, too, the one of the greatest things about that space is that you have quite a few uptown people who come in and talk to the children.
Mm-hmm.
These people would have never had that opportunity to come in and see a group like that, working like that.
Yeah.
Even yesterday, we had some photographers that were just taking pictures of the place, downtown, as a project, and did not know we existed. So, of course, I invited them. And they were just so overwhelmed. We were listening to classical music at that time, which the boys, in fact, asked for.
Mm-hmm.
And said to me, Miss, we want to hear some classical music. So I said, well, you know about classical music. You know?
Yeah.
So
well, that's what I meant about the word of mouth. Obviously,
yes,
word of mouth.
Yes,
they know you're playing classical music over there, Miss Rosie.
But I play dub music too,
yes,
you know. I play a lot of instrumental music, so the words do not get into the way of their thinking.
Right, yes.
Because really... It's to get them to think,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
and it's to expose them, and I feel as if that I am seeing that happen, and you know, I'm watching some of the dialogue that takes place. And mm-hmm. sometimes we're talking about everyday situations, because it's the everyday situations that we need to check on. Mm-hmm. You know, you have mm-hmm. big projects and big ideas, but it's how we are dealing with ourselves on an everyday. You know, from most of the discussions we have sometimes is about the opposite sex, no doubt. Mm-hmm, I have boys mm-hmm. from the age of 15 right back to about even 28.
Oh, wow.
And it's how you deal with the opposite sex.
Yes.
And we talk about...
Which is very, very important for the future in terms of how we interact.
You know, especially you know? Well, a lot of them don't even have fathers around mm-hmm, them, mm-hmm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to ask if I'm asking once again for the males to come in on this project, because they need the male role model, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about how you know, you're not to hit women, and you know, we even had this discussion yesterday, and you know, they tell me when they get upset and everything and what they feel like doing, and I said, but you can't hit a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I break it down,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Also too, you get to realize how really vulnerable, you know, that males are.
Yes.
You know,
despite the tough exterior, of the braggadocio
and when you see the outbursts and violence, it's really because they feel that they have no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it can
show itself in that way, or it can show itself where they absolutely reach a block and they're not able to produce. Now, I'm not making excuses for all of them, because some of them can do a little bit better. But it's not all the time we must think that they're bad and they're wicked and they're evil. There is always a reason behind.
But doesn't this go back to the image thing that you talk about,
yes,
that we look at ourselves,
yes,
these young men who are our sons and our brothers, and immediately when we see them, they are criminals, and so we can shoot them down.
Yes.
It's easy to do that because they are evil, wicked children.
You know,
well,
if you shoot down all the men, what's going to happen to the women then? You know,
the women too.
We need to have this balance, you know, in our society.
And so the change in thinking, the finding of ourselves is that obviously the brilliant thing to do is to start from the youth.
Yes.
But also at the adult level, in the social institutions, the educational institutions, the agencies, the police force, that we also need this kind of a change in thinking of how we see ourselves.
I think that the fact that we have this cut-off point where a lot of our boys that I am meeting probably did not finish education because of finance or whatever, and the cut-off point is what, 16?
16, 17.
17.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's nothing? What happens to that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the group that I target more, because they're the group at risk.
Yeah.
And so I'm not understanding why, if we know this is the group that will go out and, you know, get caught up in all sorts of situations, why isn't it that society is not creating facilities,
mm-hmm,
so that they can continue learning, right?
Yes.
Because by that time, when they realize that everybody's moving on ahead of them, mm-hmm, and they've had some experience on the road, and they mm-hmm see that their lives are not going anywhere, that is a time that they're really keen to learn, you know.
And this is also, you know, my, you know, just anecdotal evidence that I have of dealing with young men, is that when they are not necessarily performing at the standard that they should at fourth, fifth, and so on, form, mm-hmm, and they drop out of school,
mm-hmm,
that is when they are 17, 18 that they begin to say, okay, I'm ready now.
Right.
But when they're ready, there's no catch mind. You talk about England and so on. In England, there are the colleges,
mm-hmm,
where we know, you know, the child who doesn't do well at that,
mm-hmm,
level. There's still the idea that you can go into the college, still do your O levels, your GCSEs, and so
on, and
move on. So, is it something like that we're lacking?
That most definitely. And I've made the effort to call around to see where we could start, but then it's funding again.
About heart. Heart.
You
is,
know. Yes, art is a place, but you need something. If all right, I had a young man who was 19 years old who said that he had didn't finish school, went into art, got some skill, and yet he's back on the road again because there was no job.
Right.
And came to me and he said, you know, miss, I was in a gang, and I just feel the best thing to do is to go back into a gang because I can't survive. And, you know, and I said, but you're going to die. You know you're going to die. And he says, well, you know, he doesn't see himself living until about, you know, 25, 28. And a lot of them think that way. You know, a lot of them have this feeling that, you know, they're perishable up to very young ages because they don't have no sense of hope.
But isn't this our reality, that our young men are not necessarily living beyond 25? Unless you are living on the other side of the pond.
We need to change that though, because there's something very wrong about that.
Obviously. And I hear you talking about how we can begin to address this by even starting where you're starting, which is that catchment area. How do I catch them at this point when they're most vulnerable?
Well, what I do also to, away from catching them and getting them to deal with their challenges, because I say we all have challenges and problems in our life, to refocus and have the empowerment to deal with it, is to also see how we can create jobs, right? So there is an entrepreneur side to this whole thing, all right? So when they're doing their art making, I have exhibitions and shows to publicize who they are. They get PR and to meet people. Mm-hmm. And hopefully some of the artworks get sold. I'm on Facebook. I have quite a lot of people where, you know, the paintings go out and whatever they do go out. Just to let people know, so people will come in to support them. You know, we need more ventures like that. I'm not saying it's just a painting, because there are other things that I would like them to make, like, you know, beautiful furniture making, look at how we deal with our textiles, and there's so many things that can so many spin-off that can come off.
I hear the vision, you know. Rosemary, I hear your vision and I share it. I'm concerned about the funding, because I understand and know you're doing this without funding, and even though you're not talking about that much, can you make an appeal for funding? Somebody might hear.
Well, I'm really making this appeal for funding, absolutely. I've been going on for the last 6 years without any funding, and what would be nice if you could go to the webpage Inscape Foundation, which specifically...
That is IN?
That's Inscape, INSCAPE Foundation, all right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a foundation that specifically speaks to the trauma and the art healing. We need the money for that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, too, for the studio, because, as I say, it's materially intensive. I would love if I could get, say, 10 companies that could give me $5,000 a month, you know, as small as that.
Wow, that is really setting the bar very low.
Yes.
But I understand.
But, you know...
Yeah, but for starters.
For starters, you know, because you go to people and they have good intentions, but you don't see them again.
Yes.
So even if I started with 10 companies with as low as that, and they could... you know, come in and see what is happening. You know, we could even start there.
And that is again the background that you have been on this path, especially what with Studios 174. That you this is 6 years, and even before that. So you've been doing this for a while, and this is working.
Yes, this is working. It's working because I've been able to stay there for 6 years. That's why I know it's working. It's working because I still get quite a few of these youth could keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I've had youth as long as 4 years in the program, you know. And there is a change, I think, with Europe. They're really looking at the Caribbean with the visual arts now.
Mm-hmm.
Before, it was just mostly the music. But there is even a change in that.
Yes.
So I think it's just a matter of time, you know. And I don't want to burn out, per se.
Mm-hmm.
So the appeal, again, is you can contact me at artloverjam@hotmail.com.
Artloverjam.
Yes.
@hotmail.com.
Right. Mm-hmm. And my contact is 372-6098.
372-6098.
And
920-5088. All right, 920-5088. These are the numbers for Rosemary. We'll have them here anyway, too, so you can also call if you think you've missed those numbers to assist in this. I like the way, and I'm going to end it the way we started, with what you said to Next Generation Magazine. And rather than sit and do the talk, I said, I'll do the walk and talk later.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to just call a few names if I can.
Yes, go ahead.
I'd like to just thank all the boys that have been coming, Edward, Kumar Johnson, Tariq Osborne, Kumar Dashina, Lorraine, Corey Bennett, I Spiritual, O'Shane Fraser, Nakia Russell, Charles Stewart, the Jamaican magazine, Lorraine Murray, for putting in having a lovely edition of us in the December magazine. The Next Generation, that's Pam and Dekenu Shepherd of Next Generation. And also to my Inkscape Foundation members, Dr. Tammy Hain Robinson, Maxwell, Tina, and Anthony Gifford. Thank you all. And, of course, thank you, IFM, for inviting me.
Right, and we're happy we found you, because you really weren't talking. You were doing the walk, and you weren't quite ready to talk. But thank you very much for coming in and talking, because I think what your story will motivate others.
Yes. And if there are any schools in Ochi that want to get in contact with us, the Inkscape Foundation, for us to come down to assess, let us know. You know,
is it just Ochi or across Jamaica?
Well, across Jamaica. Okay. It's just that we haven't got outside of our Kingston.
Okay.
But we're just letting everybody know that, you know, we eventually will be in through all the areas in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are any dire situation that you would like to get in contact with us, let us know now.
All right. Thank you very much, Rosemary Chung, lecturer at Edna Manley College of Visual and Performing Arts, teaching concept development through drawing. She's the founder of Studio 174. She's an art therapist and educator. Remember now that you can contact her and you can assist with funding. In addition to that, you can assist on so many different levels. If you also want to, as you heard Rosemary say, if you are a school across Jamaica in St. Anne, St. Mary, wherever you are, and you something is resonating with you here that you heard Rosemary talking about just now, then please ensure that you give her a call so she can invite you in to, you can invite her in to talk to your students, all right? Thanks again, Rosemary.